This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. Jamie. And you're listening. It's Monday. Shut up. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 27th, episode 1460, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday. Can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, sorry, Jamie, you're supposed to come out.
You go right ahead, please. You've kind of been that kind of guy all morning, so you go ahead. It is amazing if you guys could hear the pre-show. I'm like, just admit you're wrong, Glenn. Just admit it. Monday morning, a man cannot admit when he's been wrong.
Oh, my God. Nope, not going to do it.
Carry on. Can't please take over. It's your show. I'm just going to sit here.
That was habit. I was just like, music stop, you start talking. That's what you do.
All right. Go ahead.
Let's do that over. Start plan B.
Good morning, everybody. Jesus, I can't take that again. It's too much of me. Hi, everybody. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I was going to tell you this story about this cat named Tigger who survived a journey of over 300 miles. This guy was driving his car and he had taken off and he was driving across the country and he's a Royal Navy pilot. And as he kind of stopped his car, every time he stopped, he kind of heard something. Just he'd driven all day over 300 miles and he just kept hearing something. And it turns out there's a kitten up underneath his bumper. And he drove over 300 miles with this poor little kitten stuffed in his bumper. And he survived. And now the squadron, I guess, that this Navy pilot was a part of is called the Flying Tigers. So they named Tigger as
now.
So now he's the squadron mascot. And he's so stinking cute. I'll post the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But they've got him, like, photos of him in the fighter pilot's helmet and upside down. So stinking cute. So I'll send it to you. But 300 miles... Poor little kitty.
I'm glad he didn't crawl under the engine. That'd have been bad. You hear about that occasionally, but even the wheel well. I mean, he could have fallen out at any point.
I know. The poor thing must have been holding on for dear life.
All right, I'll put it on. 300 miles is like 6 hours.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, all right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? If you can just like leave your husband out of it for 5 seconds.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we are going to start out with a Monday movie review. Compliments of Auditor Lisa. She's going to take a look at the movie Dark Horse. Next, we'll head out west and chat with Michelle Sander from Great Escapes Sanctuary in Colorado. And Horse Station has the wacky world to report upon. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out. What's a happy birthday? But it's a happy birthday to several people.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Well, my happy birthday goes out to one of our auditors named Jill, and it's her birthday today, and I think we just had her on the Stable Scoop show, actually. And also, horse baller out of Canada, Marie Nadeau, who we've had on the show before. You remember that game of horse ball they play up there that's so wild? Well, She was not playing horse ball, but I just saw this morning that she got hurt pretty bad on her horse. Apparently, the horse got stuck in a bog and ended up falling over on her or something. She doesn't have anything broken, but she's bruised pretty bad, and we wish her the best and a speedy recovery. And announcer John Kyle, remember John Kyle from England, who does all the announcing now at Rolex and stuff?
Yes.
It's John's birthday today, too, so happy birthday to John.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to bless his heart. You know, when you have a horse at your barn, you guys boarded, there's always one horse that is a total PIA, mm-hmm. pain in yep. the, you know what, always breaking stuff, always doing stuff. Oh, you can't stand in the stall, can't do this, can't
usually
do that.
Usually the owner is too, by the way.
Yeah, the owner's always super annoying too. And in this case, the horse that is the pain in the butt horse is mine. For the first time since we boarded, the one that is destroying everything belongs to me. So this morning I walked out. We had irrigated, so I put the two Mustangs out in kind of the wet pasture, and I put two other horses out in the arena, which abuts the pasture, but they have gates, okay? And I tied one gate opens very easily from the arena to the pasture. So I tied that because Zeus can open gates. He's a total pain. Well, the other gate is really difficult because it sags. Chad put that fence together and the gate sags. And to get that arena gate open, it takes almost two people. One person has to like lift up the gate and the other person has to slide the latch and like wiggle it back and forth to really get it. And it's really difficult to open that gate. So I was like, I don't need to tie that gate. Why would I need to tie that gate? Nothing's going to happen. Can't get it open. And so I tied the other one and I walked outside this morning and I'm like, wait a second. Why are there four horses in this pasture? Oh no. Why are there skid marks and gallop marks all over my pasture? Because it was a little bit too wet to put them out. And Chad told me, don't put the horses out. It's too wet. And I was like, yeah, sure. Whatever. It's my horse. It's my pasture. I can do what I want. Oh, damn. He was right.
No wonder you're having a problem with men today. You took it out on me and it was all Chad just because he was right. See, women hate it when men are right too.
It's not the man, it's the dang horse. My gosh, he is such a difficult horse to be around. He's such a pain. I have toys hanging in his stall. I've got Jolly Balls. I haven't done the treat thing yet, but that's coming up next, gentlemen.
Drill that hole.
I'm drilling that hole as soon as possible. But why is it going to be my horse?
Is this Zeus?
Of course it's Zeus. Oh my gosh. I tell people, I'm like, you know, he stood in a holding facility for 6 years. He was born in a holding facility as a Mustang. You know, his mother was captured pregnant. And I figure he spent 6 years trying to figure out how to entertain himself. That's why he's the way he is. And he's really fun to ride because of it. But my God, seriously, I don't know how he got that gate open. I looked down their way and I'm like, there's no possible way that somebody did not help him. It takes two humans to do it. How does one horse do it?
Well, he is Zeus. Let's not forget that.
He shot
God
a
of thunder.
He is Zeus. Just shot a lightning bolt at it and poof, it opened.
Yep, that must have been it. Anyway, so there you go. Zeus gets my daily Winnie for being ultra creative. I mean, that's talent. That is super talent right there.
Well, do you remember last week we talked about an owner that owns some horses that are going to the Olympics, and she sent her security team down to see how safe it was and then published an article in Noel Floyd. And we talked about it on the air. We talked about the fact that she had sent her security team down, and they basically came back and said, well, how much do you really want to go? And she's very wealthy. Obviously, she has a security team she can afford to send for a week to Brazil. So there was a response in NoelleFloyd.com, and this was by the director of sport, Will Connell. Now, we've had Will on the show on the air with us on various shows over the years a couple of times, and Will, he says it like it is. And there's just a couple things I wanted to read to you out of this article. Now, this is about the Olympics and how safe it's going to be and all of that. And this was the question by Noel Floyd. This interview comes as a response to the June 20th editorial in which a horse owner spoke out on the reasons why she will not be attending Rio 2016. What would you like to make clear on that subject? And the answer, this is from Will Connell of the USEF Director of Sport. First of all, as owner, an owner is entitled to their own opinion. And the USEF has not said, don't go to Rio based on security reasons. We have said hotel accommodation is a challenge. It's very expensive. It's difficult to come by. The transport is a challenge. Don't expect Rio to be like Normandy or London or Hong Kong. It's going to be a very different experience. And therefore, if you're not fully inside the team environment, there are going to be challenges. You might make the judgment, am I going to enjoy it as much as I did in London, or am I going to enjoy it more if I sat home and watched it on the TV? And that's all we've said to people. Be aware, this is not going to be like London. But just to put the security thing to bed, I personally don't have any more concern than if I were operating in a number of major cities around the world. Security is an application of logic. If you go out and walk along the Copacabana beach at midnight on your own with gold jewelry, you're going to come back without your gold jewelry. Huh. I've been to Rio 7 times now. I've always been careful about where I've gone. I've only used a registered taxi and I've never felt unsafe. You can't stay at the Mandarin Oriental and get driven in your chauffeur. This is a direct shot here. Listen to this paragraph. You can't stay at the Mandarin Oriental and get driven in your chauffeur-driven car to within 20 yards of the front gate. That won't happen in Rio. If that is essential to your happiness, then don't go. God, yeah. That's a direct shot. If you want to go to the best sporting event in the world and you're happy to put up with 2.5-star accommodations as opposed to 4-star, and you might be on a crowded bus and you're willing to do that, go to Rio. So, I mean, he is basically just laying it on the line here. Now, this is a long article, and I encourage you to go to Noel Floyd and read it. But one of the other things, the questions was, it's no surprise that horse welfare and safety has been a topic of conversation for a long while now. How have you seen Rio prepare for that side of things? And the answer was, horse welfare, that's non-negotiable. Of course, there will be a fence around the stables, and there will be controlled access. The horse trucks that are transporting the horses to the venue have been brought over from Germany. They brought the horse trucks from Germany. The stables are completely rebuilt. They will have rubber matting, be large in size, with stalls facing outward so that you're not walking down narrow aisles, which tells me that's the way it was before. There will also be a new veterinary clinic, and yes, it's running a little late, and we are a little concerned about everything being finished. But we do believe that everything is going to be done to guarantee the welfare of the horses. But when it comes to other things, you have to say, okay, we can deal with this. Will the paint be dry on the groom's accommodations? Maybe, maybe not. Should the paint be dry? Yes, it should. And if it's not, well, don't touch the walls.
I love it.
With all that being said, it seems there's no doubt in your mind that 2016 is going to happen. And his answer was, the Olympics is such a big rolling bus that it's going to go ahead. The more removed you are from the hub of it, the more challenges you're going to face with accommodations, transportation, etc. It's a long article. You can go read the other parts of it. But
it's happening. You're going to do it. We're going to have happen. It.
But boy, he didn't mince any words in taking direct shots at the zoner, did he?
Nope. That was great. That's good. That's what he's supposed to do.
But basically it's not London. So.
It is definitely.
Would you
not
go London. If you could?
Yeah.
I mean, not as a competitor, but if you had the money and wherewithal just to go watch, would you go watch?
I would totally go. Yeah. I think it's exciting and I think it's fun. Would I spend my hard-earned money on a trip to Rio to watch the Olympics? No. I would do that to London. I wish I could have gone to the London Olympics. Yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah. But I would like to just visit these places without the Olympics too, you know? So
Tokyo would be pretty cool. Japan, that would be fun.
Yeah. There's plenty of places I would like to go. So I can't say that these things would not make me go. I don't think I would spend my own money on it though.
I'll post a link to it up in the show notes so you can read the rest of that article from Noelle.
Are we going to the Olympics? Is that what you're saying, Glenn?
No,
we're going to broadcast live
really
from Rio?
That really wasn't what
I mean, are you asking my permission? Because if so,
hey, we couldn't get press passes for the Queen's thing. What makes you think we're going to get press passes to the Olympics?
I think the Queen's thing is harder, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, Jennifer gets our guest on. Our guest is going to be Lisa Lemke, and she's an auditor. And she's coming on to review a movie that's out. And it's a documentary movie. And I've read nothing but good reviews about this. It's actually playing near us in Gainesville. So we're going to try and get up and see it this week. And a lot of people have never heard of it. It's called Dark Horse. But the trailer's pretty good. And I think it'll give you an idea what the movie's about. And then we'll get Lisa on. She saw it over the weekend, and she's going to tell us what she thought of it.
Sounds good. Was I supposed to come in and say something?
No, we're waiting for the trailer to start.
A decade ago, in a small village, they shared a dream. A dream so wild, it couldn't be stopped. A dream that became a legend.
We were a tight-knit community, as most mining communities are. One by one, they've closed down.
It was a Thursday. Jan was working. She said, I'm going to breed a racehorse. So I picked the pints up and said, good luck.
When I look back now, I don't know how I did it.
And here we have Topville, the 20th century thoroughbred horse.
These sort of people, they like to keep us commoners out, I think.
We put a sign up on the wall. Anybody wants to join a syndicate of racehorse ownership, speak to Jan.
I don't have any more horses. I don't.
The syndicate came together for one simple reason. They wanted to see if it could work.
Jan said, we're all an alliance. This is our dream. We name it Dream Alliance.
Dream Alliance!
This big chap with tattoos everywhere said, we've got a horse to have in training.
He was a working class horse that was about to take on the likes of the best.
He was now mixing with the big time.
He looked classy. 40 horses and you got eyes for one.
Come on, Dream. Come on, Dream. Come on, Dream.
He always made me feel somebody else for the day. I wasn't Janet the cleaner anymore. I was Janet the racehorse owner.
It's elation when you can do something, particularly when no one gives you a chance.
The movie's called Dark Horse, and as you can see, it made you want to go see it, didn't it?
Yes, I'm looking on Fandango right now for how close it is. I can't find it. It was released May 6th. So
yeah, and if you go on their website at sonyclassics.com/darkhorse, it's a Sony movie, /darkhorse, there's a whole list of places. And as I said, it's playing near here. But we have somebody on here, one of our auditors. Lisa saw it over the weekend, and she's going to tell us what she thought of it. By the way, Lisa, it's 97% fresh on the tomato meter at Rotten Tomatoes. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming by this morning. So tell us about it.
Well, in summary, the trailer, it really gives you the feeling of the entire documentary. So the way you felt listening to that trailer, if you were kind of getting the goosebumps and getting excited, you're going to love the entire thing.
I was. It really is the story of the little guy making good, right?
It absolutely is, and I had not heard a thing about it. I was watching a different movie at Sundance, and this trailer comes on the big screen, and I'm shaking my husband like, it's a horse movie, it's a horse movie. And he's a little bit suspicious, but it opened 2 days later. We went on the first day, and it truly is an unbelievable story of common people pursuing an extraordinary dream and making it happen and really changing their lives and giving them memories that I'm sure will be with them the rest of their lives.
Well, first of all, you were at Sundance. How cool is that, by the way?
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have a Sundance here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow, that's very cool. So now I've heard a lot of people comparing this to Seabiscuit and things like that. You know, you've seen all of those movies. What would you say about that?
Well, to be clear, it is a documentary. So the one warning I want to give people, I preferred that because it's real, but it's very beautifully done in terms of some of the shots of the scenery and whales and et cetera. And they do have some actual footage of some of his races, but a lot of it is interviews with the people. In fact, I don't know for sure, but I believe there wasn't a narrator at any point, if I'm correct. I believe it was entirely the voices of the interviews with these people. So from a visual perspective, it's not as lush and beautiful as a production movie like Seabiscuit, because there's just a limitation on what footage was available. So from that perspective, you have to go in realizing it's a documentary. I much preferred it because I enjoyed hearing the story from the mouths of the individuals and not really expecting to see something as visually stunning as a production movie. I think the story is really it. And it is about a horse, but it's as much about the people and how a horse, like I think we all feel every day, how a horse really can transform your life, whatever your life is day to day. And for many of these people, it was a very difficult life, and just transform it into something totally different through this one horse.
Now, looking at like a movie like 50-1, they're retelling a true story, but they're using actors. So there's nobody else in this movie except for the people that were actually there.
That is correct. And I don't want to start any feuds or anything, but I very recently watched 50-1 for the first time. And I would say this was just above and beyond. I loved it so much better. I believe I read there were absolutely no extras used, to my understanding. Uh-huh. A lot of it is just the face, you know, they're on camera giving their interview. There's a lot of shots of the town and people just walking around the town, and it's kind of a dowdy little town. So again, it wasn't jazzed up in any way. It's very, very real. And, I much preferred it to 50-1.
Well, they're not, yeah. They're different movies altogether. I mean, you've got to, that's what I was curious about is, so nobody, there was no like, this part is played by this actor. This part is just the interviews, it's the documentary and it's real footage. Now, how did they get, what year did this happen? And what year is obviously this comes out in 2016, but what year was it filmed? Is it something that happened in the past or is it relatively recent, the story of this horse?
Yes, the woman who initiated the syndicate, it was around the year 2000. I think 1999, she had the idea, and it really got going in the early 2000s. I think they had the horse ready to go into training in 2004, so he was probably born in 2001. So what they did do is they had a lot of the, and then I believe it, I don't know when it was filmed, but I think it was initially released last year. So it was way after the fact that the documentary was made. So what they did is they went there, you know, current times, and they, to my understanding, they had some of the people just sort of recreate a scene. So if they were all in the bar in the little village watching the race on TV, they would just gather some of the real villagers, not actors, and just kind of had them recreate that for the documentary so that they would have some B-roll. And then there are definitely some footage from the actual races, and there's kind of a home movie looking thing from when they went and looked at the mare, the brood mare. So I had a sense that was real. One of the things is the only, I'm kind of a geek, so I don't think most people would like this, but one of the things I wanted was like a little caption at the bottom whenever the horse was shown to say, this is the real Dream. This is a horse portraying Dream as a foal. So that I think most of it was real, but then they did recreate some scenes.
Okay,
but
so they did have to recreate.
The real village, yeah. That's yeah, they cool. didn't okay. use the set or anything. They went to the village. Yep.
That's cool. So, Glenn, what is your take on how we score movies?
Oh,
I forget. You're doing flakes and bales.
Yeah, okay. So if we have a 6-flake bale of hay, what's this one scored?
Well, I'm an incredibly critical person. So I'm going to give it a 5 because there were just a few tiny little nitpicky things. But on the whole,
were there fake Winnies? Were there any fake Winnies?
I don't recall any fake Winnies. Oh, yes. I want to be fair. It's not for everyone because it's going to be maybe a little slower for people who don't want to watch interviews. I loved it. The people were amazing. They were so heartwarming, so genuine.
Did you understand all the accents? Because in the trailer, I didn't get a couple of those.
Yes.
Things. Okay, good.
In the trailer, it was very difficult, and listening to it on the radio, it was worse. I got nearly everything watching the film. Yeah.
If you don't like interviews, you're listening to the wrong radio show.
Right. I think everybody, that's true.
It's all we do.
That's a good point. Good point there, Jamie. So if you like this show, you're probably going to like this movie. That's what we're
saying. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait to see it. We're gonna try and see it sometime this week. Go, if you want to check it out, Jennifer will put a link on the Facebook to it. It's sonyclassics.com/darkhorse. And on there, they have a complete schedule of where it's playing. So it's playing a lot of places across the country, but it's mostly at art theaters and things like that. So we're going to go see it at one of the art theaters here in Gainesville one night this week. Well, thank you so much at short notice for doing this, Lisa.
You're welcome.
I
enjoy promoting it a little bit because I hadn't heard of it, and I think it's really worth watching. I hope people go see it.
Well, thanks a bunch, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Okay. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Now you got to look and see. I know I saw it was playing at Scottsdale, but I know you love to go to Scottsdale because it's on the complete other side of the city.
I hate Scottsdale.
And that's been made clear many times on the show. But yeah, I know.
It's too far. Can't.
It is on the complete other side of the city, but everything happens in Scottsdale, it seems like.
I know. That's one reason I hate it.
If it's horsey, it's happening in Scottsdale on the opposite side of the city. And now that I've been to your city, I see why you don't want to drive to the other side of the city.
Because it's like driving from the north side of LA to the south side of LA.
Exactly.
It's like 100 miles. It's crazy.
It's probably not that long, but it seems to take forever.
It is really
now
hard.
There is another movie coming out too. We'll do this real quick before we get to our first guest, or our second guest rather. And that is, there's a movie coming out called All the Queen's Horses. It's a film of a documentary called All the Queen's Horses.
Let me just leave right now and go take a shower.
Yeah.
I feel so disgusting even talking about this
person. We can skip it if you want.
You can talk about it, but here's the deal. You are only allowed to say her name one time. And then from now on, she is officially known as She Who Shall Not Be Named. Just like Voldemort.
This is the lady.
You can just call her Voldemort.
This is the lady that stole all the money from the little town. And we've talked to Dixon in the heart of Illinois. She ended up stealing $37,000 a day in more than 20 years in office. First of all, what little town makes $37,000 a day? And we've all heard the story of it. Well, they're coming out now with and the trailer's not that good, so I'm not going to play it for you. But they are coming out with a film. It's called All the Queen's Horses. And I posted a picture in there of her trophy room, which was, I mean, doesn't this look like something you'd see at the Kentucky Horse Park trophy room? I mean, it's unbelievable. And this goes through, you know, and they did interview a whole bunch of people in the city. They tried to figure out how she could get away with this. She stole $50 million to the comptroller. And basically, you know, people said nobody ever checked. You know, and nobody ever looked. Nobody ever double checked her. Yet,
how did she got caught? Because she took a vacation, right?
That's right.
Somebody was like, "Hey,"
and that's why banks require you to. I worked at a bank, and they require you to take your vacations. You 2 weeks a year, you get 2 weeks. Even the first, usually at banks, you get 2 weeks to start, and they require you to take those. And that's because they know that if you're doing something, it's going to get caught while you're on vacation.
Woman embezzled up to $50 million, and she would go to these Western horse shows, and she had a bunch of really expensive quarter horses and drove around in the most expensive bus and trailer. Oh, yeah, and remember, the host of the Western radio show Alan knew her.
Oh, that's right. He knew her. He announced he at those shows, right?
Yeah, he was the announcer. So he knew who she was. Like, everybody was like, oh, she's the one with all the money. And she was a comptroller in a tiny little town and was just stealing, stealing, stealing. And she is just an evil, terrible person. And she's in jail, right? I mean, she's going to be in jail.
Yeah, she's in jail to like 2035 or something. A long time. Long time. And they had a little bit of video of the auction that happened with the horses that the sheriff's department, or the, in this case, the federal government did. And I mean, one of the horses sold for $750,000. These were top quarter horses. So anyway, that's coming out too. So if you, I don't think Jamie's going to be going to see that one. And you know, it just pisses you off. The whole movie would just piss you off.
I just hate people that steal. I think stealing is just the worst thing you can do. And so the fact that this lady got away with it for so long, you know, you deserve to be in jail. But all the people, you know, they were making cuts in the police and the police force because they were out of money. Just this terrible, terrible thing she did. She who shall not be named ever. On the show.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, they're going to get into how she got away with it. I think that's going to be interesting to see in the, I'll go watch it. I'll do the review. Okay.
You go ahead. She traveled the world, bought horses, you know, showed through lavish parties, and the police budget was slashed. Public infrastructure was in disrepair, and she just lived it up, and I hope you're living it up in jail, you horrible, horrible.
And, you know, these things start small, right? And then you get away with taking $50. And that's how this happened, actually. It's
like office
small.
Space.
Yep.
We'll just steal a fraction of a penny a day, and then right. All of a sudden they have $400,000 in an account the next morning. So
And then then you got away with 50, so you try 100, right? And you know, then you get away with 100, you try 200, and that's how it goes. And that's apparently how this happened too. It started small and then got bigger and bigger, and then I think at some point you think you're invincible, right? You're never going to get caught. And that's how it gets.
Is she in the documentary at all?
Just footage of her that I saw in the trailer.
No, interview.
No, it was just footage of her, you know, at shows and stuff, winning all her awards. Well, you know, what else happened over the weekend here is Scooter developed a cough. Now, it's been kind of dry for Florida and dusty, and we noticed that he's been coughing more and more and more. So guess what we did?
Omega Alpha. Respirefree.
That's right. We went out and bought some Omega Alpha Respirefree, and we've started giving it to him now. We'll let you know next week how it's working. Right away I said, "Oh, Dr. Chang just talked about that on the show. We have to go out and look for some." Fortunately, we have about 12 tack shops within 10 miles of here.
God, that's so nice.
I know. And one of them carries almost all the Omega Alpha products. So Jennifer went out and got Respirefree. And now, this Respirefree is a liquid, so you do it in the syringe. And he's not real keen on that. So Jennifer has to do that. Otherwise, I'd just get it all over me.
Now, email, because there's a couple of the liquids that you can put in their feed.
Jennifer, did you check? Can you put this one in the feed or...
It does. The label does specify only by syringe, but there's a reason for that, because it looks, smells, and tastes like a whole bunch of Melton Hall's cough drops. Ain't no pony going to eat that stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Nasty. I tasted it. Ooh.
Yeah, but you weren't coughing, so it's perfect.
I was not coughing.
No, you haven't coughed in 2 days. Apparently it works.
I'm telling you. Go ahead and do it. Now, there's another product that most of, you know, if you were listening to our show on the day that Dr. Chang was here, we gave away a bunch of Herbicote. And that is a herbal spray that you spray on the horses, and it's got just wonderful oils and really takes care of their coat. Well, keeping in line with me and either not using the products the way that they're supposed to be, Lucky, bless his little heart, has just been scratching and itching. And I really think he's just got really dry skin because I give him a bath.
That's Jamie's rescue basset hound.
Yes. Lucky the basset hound, who is just a train wreck of a dog, bless his heart, a long story. Anyway, so he's been itching, and it's really, really, you want to talk about dry. At least it's humid some days in there, in Florida. It's so dry here. So I gave him a bath and sprayed him with Herbicote and like doused him. Like, he came in, Chad was like, "What is that smell? It's like really nice." That's Lucky. He's like, no, it's not.
It's the first time Lucky ever smelled good.
First time Lucky ever smelled good. But it's got some, it has a really good citronella-y smell to it. And it really helps his itching. So
Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But he was scratching on his belly, you know, they do that like foot on their chest kind of thing, you know. Ugh. And he just had dry skin and it really, really helps. So that's Herbicoat. You can use it on your dog. If you want.
And we'll give you, and I noticed a lot of the listeners who actually were listening that day and got their free Herbicoat have been posting pictures of their shiny horses. Yeah. So
it
that's
really nice. Is nice on the horses.
All right. Sounds good. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. We'll let you know how the recipe free works next week. We'll give you an update.
All right. Sounds good.
Scooter.
And our next guest is, I'm really excited to talk to you and kind of learn more about the Great Escape Sanctuary. And we've got Michelle Sander from the Great Escape Sanctuary on the phone. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hey, good. How's it going this morning?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us to talk a little bit about your sanctuary. Start at the beginning. Tell me everything.
Okay. So it's kind of a long story, but I'll
You guys do lots of stuff. Take your time.
Okay. So we do a lot of stuff. It started out, it's actually a dream that my father had had. And it was a lifelong dream for him to have a sanctuary for Mustangs. And he passed away 6 years ago. And before he passed, I promised him that I'd carry it on. So I started kind of getting into the Mustang issue and realized that we need to do something a lot different than just having a sanctuary for Mustangs because there's a bigger problem at hand. So we're here in Colorado, and we've got four different herd management areas in Colorado. And we found that Samwash Basin was an area that was not being supported. So we jumped in. We started creating relationships with the Bureau of Land Management here locally in Colorado and started working directly with the field office in charge of Samwash Basin. And we've got a great big support system of people that are out there doing herd documentation, help the BLM with fertility control, special range projects, stuff like that. And so we're helping the horses on the range. And then off the range, when the horses do come off the range, we have our sanctuary. And at the sanctuary, we're in Deer Trail, so we're kind of east of Denver a bit. And we've got 900 acres out here where we do training, adoptions, and offer sanctuary to the horses. We bring in school field trips. We do public tours. We just finished building overnight retreat cabins so that we can have kind of more in-depth programs here at the ranch. Because we're working with the BLM on the range, we're also working with them off the range as well and here at the sanctuary. So nothing is funded by the BLM, but we're a nonprofit, but we're able to support them through our nonprofit ways and, you know, donations and the public support. We're able to support them and the horses this way. So it's kind of an interesting model where we do work on and off the range with one single herd management area. And I really feel like when each herd management area does have a support team behind it, we're able to be more effective for the horses. So we also formed a partnership with the Mustang Heritage Foundation, which is a nationwide nonprofit that works towards getting horses out of holding and into adoption, into adoptive homes. And that's through different programs that they offer, but one is called the TIP program, or the Trainer Incentive Program. And it's where approved trainers by the Mustang Heritage Foundation will adopt a horse. They'll train it. They'll have a certain amount of time, 100 days to train the horse, and then they find an adopter for them, and then they get reimbursed through the Mustang Heritage Foundation through this program. So here in Colorado, there have been no avenues for TIP trainers to pick up TIP horses. So Canyon City is our holding facility here in Colorado, and it has its own training program. It's the Wild Horse Inmate Program, or the WIP program. So because of that, they weren't able to offer Canyon City as a TIP training pickup location. So we became a storefront, essentially, for them. So we're the only one in Colorado where TIP trainers can come and pick up horses and bring them out of holding. So we are also facilitating that for the BLM. So it's kind of an interesting model, and one that's really working and really, you know, this positive collaboration with the BLM and working together is actually working. So I get really excited about it, because when I first started, a lot of people said, nope, it's not going to work. You're going to have to do things differently. And I'm like, well, I think collaboration is kind of where it's at. So it's coming around, and it's productive. So,
well, I have two Mustangs, and people always say to me, what HMA are they from? And the first answer when somebody else hears that, they say, what's an HMA? So talk about what the herd management area is and kind of how that is defined.
Okay. So the herd management area is an area that's specifically managed for the wild horses, also other interests as well. So they're public land. So where these horses are and where their native ranges are, it's public lands, and that's what the BLM manages. The wild horse is the only resource that the BLM manages with a heartbeat. They manage the forage, they manage the land, not necessarily, an animal with a heartbeat. So for us coming in and helping them, and other nonprofit groups and other herd management areas coming in to support them, it helps them with their job. So here in Colorado, we have four herd management areas, and Samwash Basin is in very northwest Colorado, up kind of by Steamboat Craig area. Mm-hmm. And it's 169,000 acres, and it's fenced in. Horses live in there. Sheep graze in there part-time during the year. There's recreation happening out there. There's sage grouse that lives out there. There's many other things that are happening in these, in this range. On other herd management areas, whether it be in Nevada or maybe in Wyoming, they have their own mixed uses on those properties. So whether it's oil and gas, or whether it's cattle grazing, there are different interests in those public lands. So with us, and the way we work with Samwash Basin, is we sit down at the same table with the BLM, with the sheep ranchers, and we say, okay, this is our plan and how we're managing these horses to their appropriate management level, because each herd management area has, depending on the forage and environmental assessments, they have their range of allowable horses, of ideal numbers of horses. Sometimes they go over. A lot of times they go over. A lot of HMAs are over population right now. And for us, we utilize a fertility control vaccine. It's called PZP, and it's a one-year vaccine. It's been used for 30-plus years on Assateague Island, and there's many other herd management areas that are also using it, like McCullough Peaks, here in Colorado, Spring Creek and Little Book Cliffs. But it's a one-year vaccine. You remote dart the mares, and it's non-hormonal. It works on a completely different level. It works from a protein of a pig ovary. So it forms a casing around the mare's ovary, and when the horse sperm, it doesn't have the right code, it doesn't have the right key to work, because it thinks it's a pig. So it's quite interesting, the whole process. I think it's a good management option. It's definitely, I think, a lot better than doing massive roundups of horses and putting them into holding facilities, because once they're in holding facilities, the adoption rate is really, it's not that high. There's over 40,000 wild horses and burros in holding facilities nationwide, and less than 26,000 in the wild. So if you look at those numbers, you can see that putting them into holding, hoping for adoptions, it's really, there needs to be another system in place.
It's embarrassing. So, I am embarrassed that our country does this. Okay, let me just jump in there. Sorry.
Yeah.
The PZP is something that I've really read about and heard about, and is it working, and why are people so, I'm totally going off topic here, but like, is it working, and why are people so against it?
So it's misinformation. So it is working. People don't know enough about it. People think it's, so right now the FDA has it listed as a pesticide. There's no good, like, category in the, within that world to list it. So people see it's a pesticide and they completely freak out and say, well, you're poisoning the horses. Well, if those people went up actually to, you know, training and go through the program and actually see the vaccine being made, then you know it's nothing but the protein from a pig ovary, which is a byproduct of the pork industry. So I think a lot of it is misinformation. What we found is
probably what you take in your pill every month is worse than that, or every day.
Honestly, it's true. It's true. And it's just, you know, people don't like to, I think on, you know, the trouble with social media, right, is that people want things in 120 characters or less. They want little bites of information, and they don't want to dive into, okay, what is this really? But if people did, they'd understand that it is nothing other than the protein from a pig ovary. So, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, the herd management areas that are using it have been using it for years and years and years. It's working. It's effective. It's an effective tool to manage the horses and slow down their reproduction rate. Now, with that said, it has to be used in conjunction with herd documentation. That's a humongous, like, you know, I think partner to this program is the genetic map of that herd. So the last thing you want to do is mismanage the herd so that they're sterile or that, you know, they're no longer viable as a herd. So with herd documentation, and each herd management area that does utilize PZP, they do have a database of every horse that's out there so that you can look at it a little bit more scientifically and say, okay, these are the horses that we're going to be darting this year. These are the horses that we're going to pull off so that they can make their genetic contribution to the herd, and then we'll put them back on it. So there's an entire program to it. It's not just heading out there and, you know, darting every mare. There's definitely a lot of background work that goes into it.
Thank you for being the first person to ever actually explain that in a way that we can understand. You know, being a Mustang person, I get these things in the mail or these things to, please sign this petition and make it illegal. And I'm always like, I'm thinking that medicating these mares and keeping them from having babies is a hell of a lot better than locking them in a pen for the rest of their life. And it doesn't make any sense to me why people would be against it. So that being said, you have Mustangs at your facility. Tell us why, what they do, and what you're doing with them.
So we've got a little over 40 Mustangs right now at our facility in a few burros. Some of our horses are their sanctuary horses. They'll live out their lives here at the Great Escape, and they're free to range on. We've got an 800-acre pasture for them. Those are the Mustangs that they're a little bit too old to start. They maybe have been through our training program and they don't have the retention, or they don't have they're not coming around to training. So those horses will put out on the sanctuary pasture and they can live their lives. We also do have a herd of Spanish Mustangs out there. And the Spanish Mustangs, what I love to do when people come to visit is I love to talk to them about the difference between the Spanish Mustang and the American Mustang. And the Spanish Mustang really is the disappearing breed. And that is, you know, like an ancient breed that it's losing its footing. So I think it's really important to talk to people about that as well. And then in our training program, we've got training facilities. We've got, you know, our round pens, arenas, and training corrals. We've got our main intake corral. We've been able over the past, we've only been out here for 4 years. So we've been able in the past 4 years to build chutes and alleyways and safe kind of handling and moving for the Mustangs. So we right now have some yearlings available for adoption all the way through like 6-year-olds that are under saddle and are going quite well and kind of every step in between. So once we actually have on July the 10th, we have an adoption day coming up. So the BLM will be here. We'll have a brand inspector on site. So we'll be able to facilitate adoptions and, you know, that day. And so hopefully we can adopt some horses out, and then we bring more horses in. And that's kind of our model, is to be this, you know, kind of midway point for people to then come and pick up a horse that's been either halter trained or fully saddle trained, and then bring in some new ones and start all over again.
Oh my gosh. This all started with your daddy, huh? Just hit, he had an idea.
It all started with my dad. Be careful How what you cool. promise.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
No, well, listen,
he's, yeah.
I would, we're running out of time, but I would, because I talked to you too much about the PZP, I would love to have you on maybe the Friday before the adoption and just remind people about it and talk to you, or maybe right after it, and let us know how it goes, or both. I would love to have you on again. Yeah. You've just been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and I have so many more questions for you. Where can people go to find out more?
Oh, you can go to greatescapesanctuary.org.
Our
website, we've got sanctuary.org.
Real quick, where is the sanctuary located in Colorado?
We're in Deer Trail.
Which is?
It is 45 minutes east of Denver, and we're at the very northern tip of the Black Forest.
Okay, very good. Cool.
I'm looking it up. We're coming.
Well, you know, we're going on vacation. We're actually doing our vacation, Jennifer and I, in September in Colorado. So yeah. we might have to stay in one of those cabins.
You can come stay in one of the cabins for sure. We'd love to have you guys.
Say hi to the horses. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You know you take your wife there, Glenn. You're packing a trailer all the way back to Florida, right?
See, I think I'm safe.
That's okay. We can help you out with that.
I actually carefully weighed that, and I thought, well, she'll think that it's too expensive to get the horse from Colorado to Florida. So I thought I was safe. Otherwise, I would have never recommended it, Michelle. I would have never said anything.
Oh, they'll get it to you. They'll get it for you.
We can do that. We can get it to you.
Yeah. Yep. On second thought, Michelle, we're not coming. We'll see.
Right.
On the next BLM trailer all the way out to Florida. No problem there. All right, Michelle, we'll talk to you again very soon, okay? We'll have right. Jennifer
Thanks,
get back.
Guys.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Oh, right, Jennifer's bye-bye. Getting a Mustang. Jennifer's getting a Mustang.
Yeah, not happening. Yeah.
Can you believe those numbers? 40,000 Mustangs in holding. There's 27 loose. That's so disappointing. Mm. God. Ah.
Yeah, I never understood the objection to the whole sterilization thing they're doing. I never understood the objection to that. I was always like, I'd rather have the horses than not have the horses, which is basically what we're talking about.
You know,
we have our two choices. What do you want?
I'm going to have to say spay, neuter, geld,
right.
PZP.
That's right. Well, she explained it better than anybody we've ever had on the show. And
she's
we've had
good.
That explained before. And I'm not sure I understood it. And she was very good. So
very
Jennifer,
good.
we'll have to. I don't think it's that far out of where we're going to be, actually. So maybe we'll have to.
No, it's right near Denver.
Yeah, we'll have to take a ride out and say hi to her.
Yeah, let's have her on either right before or right after that adoption,
too. I can see what's going to happen now. This trip, so far we've mentioned that we're going to do a train ride and we're going to a Mustang place. And as soon as we mentioned train ride, Jamie said, I get free flights. I can come
I'm
up
coming.
With Lucas and we can go on the train. Now we're doing, you're going to be on the whole trip with us. I can see
I'm
it now. It's going to be
vacation.
10 days with Jamie and Lucas on a trip.
Here we go. That's so cool. I want to go to that place. I want to go to there.
All right, let's take a break for our song. We're going to come back. Leslie's going to be here with the Wacky World of Horses and Horse Nation in just a minute. But first, a little Beaches of Cheyenne.
Yay!
They packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. And by the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out Well, it turned out that he lied, and all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. They never found her body, just her diary by the bed. They told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
Well, that's Dan Roberts, and you can find all of his music at Old Boots, oldbootsmusic.com is where you can find all of his music. He has a lot of it.
And by the way, if you're like, gosh, I know that song. What? How do I know that song? That's because he co-wrote that with Garth Brooks. Yeah, that's right. That's Garth Brooks' song. He wrote
and,
it.
And we're getting a little special musical. We haven't done one in a while. We're getting another special musical episode set up for you. And hopefully we'll be recording that. I got to get with you after the show on that, actually.
Ooh, I'm so excited. So, well, guess who it is? I want to have Dan Roberts on, too, by the way. We need to contact him.
Last time we talked to Dan Roberts, he was herding cattle, literally, while we talked, if you remember right.
You can hear the mooing. It was awesome.
He was herding cattle. That was a first. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. We're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. We're going to get Leslie on here in a minute, but I did want to mention here that Mark Todd made the news. Mark Todd will become New Zealand's oldest ever Olympic athlete when he lines up for the Rio Olympics this year. Yes, he made the team at the age of 60. Now, to give you an idea, Mark won gold medals at the Los Angeles Olympics in 1984. Individual gold. He won in Seoul, or he was at the Seoul Olympics in 1988. He won an individual bronze in 1988. He won a team eventing bronze in Sydney in 2000 and London in 2012. So
he's all right.
Yeah, he's been around the block a few times. And he, of course, has won badminton many times and many other of the four-star events around the world. And he is set to compete this year. Now, there's one other Kiwi that was at the eight, was 56 at the time. He was in sailing, and that was in 1956. He was still has maintained the oldest in New Zealand in the Olympics up to this point. And that was the year Mark Todd was born. So this year, Mark will pass him and be the oldest one in New Zealand. So we're excited that he made the team. It's going to happen again. The other teammates, let's see here. We have Jock Padgett, who we kind of expected. Janelle Price, Clark Johnston, and they have the backup is Julia Bronham. So that's who.
It's just who those names are like you can't throw.
It's gonna be a good team.
Pageant. Yeah, I mean that's crazy. So congratulations to all of them. Oh my gosh, I'm just glad. Wasn't there a little drama with them even getting in the Olympics? So now they've got their team together. It's
yes,
great.
They got their team together, and you know you can always count on them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens financially with the because there are a lot of them are stationed in England, and the pound just got. Devalued a bunch over the weekend. So I don't know if that means it's going to cost them more. I don't know how that works. If it's going to cost them more to go or what.
I love that Mark Todd is the oldest Kiwi Olympian ever. That's so
I
cool.
I know. All right. We are.
Sir Mark Todd. Sorry.
Sir Mark Todd. Yeah, don't get that wrong.
Yes.
It's Leslie time now for Leslie from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses. Hey, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me guess what we're going to talk about first.
How's the pony? Oh my gosh, Princess is so good.
Let's remind everybody who didn't hear last week's show that Leslie got a new pony. Literally, a new pony.
Yeah, actual pony. Her name is Princess, and she is perfect. The best pony ever. She's great. I actually wrote my first chapter of The Princess Diaries, Princess' new blog for...
Oh, Leslie, we have a bad connection with you, so I'm going to hang up and call you back.
Princess okay. is chewing on your internet.
Yeah, something going on there with her internet, that's for sure. Did you see the little video? If you go to horsenation.com, you'll see the article, and there's a little video of Leslie riding Princess... in a jumping course here.
Is that Leslie riding?
It says Leslie and Princess. So
I'll have to check it out. I haven't seen that one yet.
You have to go. Scroll down the article below all the memes and you'll see. So I'm going to try and get Leslie back here. It sounded like her internet was going south quickly. But yes, the article is called The Princess Diaries, Just a Little Pony. We also have to ask Leslie where she finds all of the memes that she puts in every article over on Horse Nation, because there's 1,000 of them.
I'm telling you, a meme generator. You can do whatever you want. You can make your own meme.
Is that what it's called, meme generator?
I've used it. That's what I used. When I have pictures of Lucas naked, I usually make a meme because he's going to hate me forever.
You're going to get arrested one of these days, or when he turns 18, they're all going to show up.
Just his buns. No big deal.
All right. I can't get her back, so I'm going to try and call her phone here. We'll see if that works.
I got to see this video. I'm going to Horse Nation right now. I mean, she had to name it The Princess Diaries.
Leslie lives in somewhat rural Tennessee, so that could be. We're going to try this and see if this works.
I love this. Six reasons adopting this team of Belgians basically makes me Daenerys Targaryen.
Hi.
Hey, we thought we'd try this. I could not get you back on Skype. So your internet must be giving up the ghost.
Probably.
It's Princess's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Princess has an aura and it was messing your electronics up.
Actually, I've moved her into the house with me. she's living. I set her up with a little bedroom, and yeah, she was. You're right. She was actually gnawing on the table. So
Glenn wanted to know where you found all these memes for The Princess Diaries first.
You have a lot of memes. You always find 1,000 memes.
Yeah, I do, don't I? Yeah. You know, the internet is you can find most anything you need on the internet, including vast amounts of pony memes.
I love the little child that's on the hood of the car and has kicked in the windshield, and it says, "No pony for Christmas, no window for driving." That's funny.
But, you know, it finally occurred to me, it took me a little while, but I was like, oh my gosh, I can stalk Princess on her former owner's Facebook page. It just sort of occurred to me. And so I found all these photos, and I think I found like a new favorite photo of her. She's coming up to a prelim bank at Poplar Place, and you can just see her head over the bank, like on the other side of the bank. Like she's coming up to it, and her eyes are so big.
I see that this picture. Like,
oh, I love it.
You know, her rider's like, oh, here we go.
I think her rider's eyes are bigger.
Yeah, the bank is as big as she is. Like, it comes up to her rider's knees. But then, you know, no problem. She just jumps up it because she's perfect.
Well, now, you didn't have this pony last time we talked to you. You have it in your possession now? What's the scoop?
And the pony, yes, she is in my possession. Absolutely. Yep, she's out at the farm. And it's magical. We're meant to be, clearly. She's perfect. We had a dressage clinic last week, and we've jumped some jumps, and we've gone on some trail rides, and I've hugged her a lot.
Now, I have owned a lot of ponies.
We love each other.
So now tell me, does she have ponytude?
She has princess tude, I think is maybe the more accurate term. Yeah. At our dressage clinic, dressage is her least favorite. See, we have so much in common. Princess and I, dressage is both of our least favorite phase of eventing. And so, you know, she gets a little bit of an attitude about it sometimes. I get a little bit of an attitude about it sometimes. So I get that. I don't judge her. But we did go to a dressage clinic, and the clinician compared her to Miley Cyrus. He said, first name, Princess, middle name, Trouble. And, but I mean, I think, you know, you got to start somewhere. She is a baller when she puts her mind to something. But sometimes she just would rather, you know,
not
do something that's not dressage.
You know, you two sound remarkably alike.
We do. I think we might be too much alike. I'm not actually sure what's going to happen with this relationship, but either we're going to be amazing or we're going to explode the world.
It could be either.
The apocalypse pony.
That's
pony apocalypse.
Well, so now, do you have her entered in a competition yet, or are we waiting to meld some more?
Oh no, we don't. We're melded. We're already like.
Oh, that's it. Your best friends and. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah. Our hearts are one, and and blue ribbons are in our destiny, and we're like a old horse movie.
So,
could you make this any cheesier, Leslie?
Our hearts are one. And she said that so like legitimately.
Yeah, like
honestly,
she
too,
believed
like,
it. Duh. Yeah,
that's right. Because it's true.
Question: what are your goals with Princess?
Well, next month we're having a horse show on the horizon. We're going to do our first event together at Champagne Run at the Kentucky Horse Park. Nice. And then, you know, and then we'll see. We're going to do a novice. You know, we're still,
for your
we're
benefit,
still getting to know
for
each
your
other.
Benefit, not hers.
My benefit.
Yeah.
Because even when you're on a 14 one-hand pony, like even 3 foot looks kind of big, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
3 foot big. Looks big all the time.
That's right.
But you know, I decide that like every, whatever level you're at looks big depending mm-hmm. on what horse you're riding. So when I yeah. was riding Jet, training looked like no big, like training was training. It was like, okay, mm-hmm. that's what we're doing. I've mm-hmm. just entered Zeus in beginner novice, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, these things are effing huge.
Yeah.
It's all relative to the horse that you're riding and the training yeah. level you're at. So yeah, I've got to say, I'm with you. Good for yeah. you for scaling back just a wee bit, getting mm-hmm. to know Princess.
Yeah, getting to know Princess. And as far as like, so that's our short-term goal. Long-term goal, you know, World Equestrian Games in 2018, I think, you know, it's probably not out of the question.
Well, you know what? It's been a while since Theodore. We haven't had that pony star, so it's time.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. I think Princess is she's ready to deliver team gold for the USA. Hope the selectors are listening to this.
Well, we'll look for. I'm going to have to make a bumper for the Princess updates every week. I'm going to have to make a bumper now because guaranteed we'll be getting Princess updates every week. And it to be kind of, we need a bumper that's kind of squishy and, you know, our hearts are one. I got to figure out. I'll work on that.
It's got to be like sappy. Little twinkly sounds.
Yes, it's got to be sappy, like almost My Little Pony-ish. My Little Pony. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, yeah. I see you guys posted an article. We passed this the other day, actually. I see you posted an article on Fantasy Farm Thursday. I love that, by the uh-huh. way, Fantasy Farm Thursday. It's a new thing over in Horse Nation. And it's the Padua Stables here in Ocala. We talked about this probably 2 years ago when it first went up for sale. And it, mm-hmm. and we passed it the other day. And they are keeping this place up, even though it's for sale, because it is beautiful.
How did you resist not stopping by and being like, we were considering looking for a new farm? And
we thought about that when it first went up, but apparently you need a credit check before they'll take you out there. So we said, you know, the $29 in the bank account is not going to cut it to go out and see this place that is for sale for $17.9 million here in Ocala, Florida.
So it's still for sale after 2 years is what you're saying, Glenn.
Yeah, I think it's overpriced by a couple million. 700 acres of pristine manicured, and I mean manicured lawns and fields and about mm-hmm. 1,000 barns. And this is just, you have the most incredible pictures in there of the barns are just, uh-huh. yeah, yeah.
What is it, nice. 202 stalls maybe? I think that's what it is.
Yeah, with
200 something stalls.
Yeah, several barns. There's a track. There's about 1 million acres of pasture. The track, by the mm-hmm. way, is gorgeous. And then they also have, this is unusual, they have two training tracks. They have a dirt training track, and of course they have a turf training track. Because doesn't mm-hmm. every barn have both?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to mix it up.
That's right.
It's like it's not even a real farm if it doesn't. Hello.
Yeah.
Let's not mention the house, which is just like out of this world.
But here's a good idea. So they have the house, but they also have, you know, they have the main residence, which has like 8 bedrooms. But they also have 13 other homes on the property. So there's extensive private housing for guests, managers, and staff, including 13 immaculate homes and a 7,000 square foot dormitory with 22 rooms. So let's do the math on it. So that's like 22 people right there that can bunk up in the dorm, plus 13 who can chip in on the homes, plus, you know, 8 people in the main house. Like we really, so that's what, I can't math.
The Padua Syndicate. That's
40
what you're
people, saying. Right? So we just go in on it together. Everyone only has to chip in, like, you know, half a mil.
The Padua Syndicate. I like it. I like it. Let me see. Yeah. I'm dividing that out now. That is...
Who gets it at Christmas?
It's only $425,000 each.
That seems, you know, reasonable.
Doable.
That seems very reasonable. Yeah. Plus, I mean, you know, and then and everyone can have... So how many people? So we're talking, what, 40 people?
Now, unfortunately, between the taxes and the upkeep, that's another $400,000 each a year.
And
the upkeep. That's the other thing. Somebody's got to mow all that.
Everyone gets like, how many stalls a piece is that? We got 200 stalls. Math that.
Yeah, but that's about four or five stalls each.
4 or 5 stalls a piece. Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, think of how much money we're going
to
save on board,
Jamie,
though,
you'll need to sell that place you just bought in Hurricane Alley and move over here.
Well, all I'm saying is there's plenty of room for all those Mustangs. Jennifer's going to get on her vacation next month in September.
I think there's room for a pony here. We could probably fit a princess.
I think probably one of those dolls.
That's very cool. Go take a look at the pictures. This place is unbelievable, but obviously it's overpriced because nobody's bought it yet. It's been there for a while. And then you also found us a new sport.
This is weird.
I did. I didn't know that this was a thing, and I'm not sure that it really is, but I certainly found a video of a men's side saddle class.
But they're all dressed like women.
Yes. That's part of it. That's part of the deal.
Oh,
apparently. Okay. I think you're going to love it. Have you ever tried cross dressing?
When I met Jennifer, I was in a dress and tights. So yes, I would say that that's true. Mickey Mouse is riding here in the men's side saddle class. This has to be in England.
Yeah. Where is this? It's
actually in California.
Oh, okay.
California.
That makes sense too. So we have a whole bunch of men in drag riding side saddle, and not very well, some of them, I might add.
Yeah.
But they look like, what type of horses? They look like gated, like saddlebreds or...
Yeah, they look like saddlebreds, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, that one is bouncing a lot. It's going to bounce right off.
Yeah.
Now, didn't Boyd Martin ride side saddle recently?
What's that?
Boyd Martin rode side saddle recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
Yeah, I believe he did. What did he do? Oh, he took a lesson.
Yeah.
From Susan Oakes, who's the she set the world record for side saddle jumping. She jumped, I think, 6'8" in a side saddle. No big deal.
Good God! Why would you want to do that? Sorry, did I say that out loud? Whew. Carry on.
But he was not dressed in drag, though. Boyd was not.
Oh, okay.
But you know.
Well, if you want to see the disturbing video of the guys dressed in drag, it gets had almost 120,000 views. So apparently, other people like to see the disturbing video. It's called Video Men's Side Saddle. It's on horsenation.com. Well, we're going to let you get back to your pony.
Okay.
Princess.
She's standing here beside me in my office.
Have you gotten any work done since you've gotten this horse? Is Jenny calling you saying, where are the articles? Why hasn't Horse Nation been updated in a week? I did notice, though. See, I looked last week intentionally to see how many articles were written by Leslie. There was one. It was about her pony. Everything else was written by the other writers. And I'm like, yeah, Leslie's got a week off here. Is she not working?
I have some tunnel vision.
It is that way when you get a new horse, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like getting a new boyfriend. Like, you just, that's all you focus on.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy every time, by the way.
It's just hard work. It's hard work training for the World Equestrian Games. You know, like we only have 2 years.
To go from novice to 4-star. That'd be hard work.
I know.
Well, good luck with that. We wish you the best. Thanks, Leslie.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Princess says hi.
Hi, Princess.
Hey, send us a picture of you and Princess so we can post it.
I will.
I didn't see any pictures of the two of you together yet, so we need a picture.
Selfies!
Okay.
We need a selfie.
I'll send you a picture.
All right. Right there in the office, we want a picture. All right?
All righty.
All right. Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
You think she's excited about her new horse or what?
Oh, my gosh. So cute. It is. It's like getting a new boyfriend. It's all you focus on, and it's very unhealthy every way around. So good job. Way to go.
In Houston yesterday, there was, I don't know if you saw that video. It's making the rounds. There was a horse on the highway weekend. I mean, it was flying down the highway. It was nighttime. It was in the center lane. Well, it was like a 4-lane highway, and it was like in the third lane over, and it kept in its lane. And it, this guy was videoing it because they were trying to get traffic stopped enough to get it off the road. And it was a major highway. I mean, it's like 8 lanes wide. And this horse is running hell-bent for election down the third lane, staying in its lane. And apparently it did start weaving in and out of lanes, causing all kinds of traffic nightmare. And they managed, it said, he and a group of other concerned drivers managed to corral the horse in the slow lane and then herded it off an exit. So they managed to get off an exit. They're not quite sure. I guess it got away and went away. They couldn't catch it after that. So they're not quite sure what happened to the horse or where it ended up. But it's not every day you see a horse on the highway.
I need more. I need to know where it came from and where it ended up.
I sure hope the rate it was going down the concrete or down the asphalt highway that it had shoes on, because there's going to be no feet left after that.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah.
And why do people think it's a good idea to honk at horses that are on the highway? Apparently, there was a lot of honking going on. They think it's a good idea that the horse is going to do something different if you honk your horn at it. I think it's a natural thing.
People, it's going to go, I shouldn't be out here.
I shouldn't be out here.
Honking at me. Yeah. Let me move to the side. Let me let him pass. No.
There was one of those, too, in China. That's usually where we get these videos about horses on the highway, is China. But this is in Texas.
Unbelievable. Hey, I got a Kickstarter for you, Glenn.
Oh, really?
This is, yeah, you have, I want you to hear, it's called the Seaver Girth, S-E-A-V-E-R Girth, okay? This is for Kickstarter. It pairs with your iPhone and streams feedback on your horse's condition while you're riding. Okay. It has, let's see, as last time I checked, it had 152 backers. It was up to $34,811 with a goal of over 56,000. You can monitor your horse's heart rate, speed, calories burned, and distance covered, all with the Seaver Girth. Is that crazy or what?
Huh. So they have sensors all through the girth, probably.
Yeah. So,
well, there's that company out of Canada that did the head stall. Remember, they did the thing that the head stall that had
the halter.
Yeah. The halter. Yeah.
This is a French company. And they say the purposes are to avoid overtraining, detect health problems early, track the physical. I wonder if I could have found out Norman had a heart problem with this thing. Track the physical condition of your horse, balance your training, diversify it, identify and learn from your training flaws, share the data with your coach to progress better. You can do speed, calories burned, heart rate, distance covered, and then the post-exercise analysis is right-to-left pace analysis, top speed, average speed, how much effort they're putting in. You can map a view of your jump course that you did. It maps where you are. Fence approach analysis, distance, number of strides, the way that you jump vertically, your margin over the fences, how far away you are from the jump, like how much your horse is over jumping. Pace analysis and breakdown. Abnormalities discovered in the gates. I don't know if I'm smart enough to use it, but by God, it'd be fun to have one.
The first connected girth.
Oh, so it's a sleeve that goes over the girth, maybe? Yes, it goes over the girth. I thought about that. I said, well, that doesn't, how would you clean it and stuff? But it goes over the existing girth, because if you pledge 109 euros, pounds, francs, whatever that is, or more, you get one. And they're all sucked up. They have 20 backers.
Yeah, that was $123. And now they have 94 left at the $145 level.
I'm in.
There you go, Jamie.
Go for it.
Shipping's going to be $250 from France, but that's okay.
Oh,
so you have to plug your girth in at night? Is that what I'm hearing?
I guess so. And that's cool, though. So you can find them. Maybe we can get them on the show. It's called, they have a Facebook page. It's Seaver
Now live on Kickstarter.
Oh, wow. It even maps out the trajectory of her fits. That's so cool. This thing's very robust. Wow.
Isn't that great?
Huh.
Anyway, there's your news.
There it is.
I'm done.
One equipment for all disciplines.
You're Kickstarter nerding out right now.
I am looking at I'm reading the whole thing now. I hadn't seen this one before. God, they have a lot of people in their company.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. There's a lot of people work there. This is not a one-man operation. So it is a sleeve, Jennifer? No, it looks like a whole girth.
Like, call it it says a girth and a girth sleeve.
Oh, maybe there's a sleeve that goes over the girth because it looks like a whole girth. We'll have to get them on.
We'll
have to get on and find out what the story is. And there's how many days left on this one? 28 days. Well, they're almost there. They're only 16,000 away now. They'll make it. Yeah, interesting.
Pretty cool.
Plug your girth in. It'd be like everything else I forget to plug in. It'd be go out to ride my horse and go, damn, battery's dead.
My shaking forks like that. Yeah,
exactly. Battery's dead. My girth's not plugged in. All right, tomorrow we have Women in Rodeo for you, and then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. We want everybody to try the new audio Really Bad Ads. We had two of them on Friday's show. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to Friday's show. It was a very funny show, too, on Friday. Jamie was a little punchy. So, and if you want to hear about whether Jamie was actually a stripper or not, you want to go back to Friday's show because she clarifies that on Friday's
show. I do clarify.
She does clarify.
Chad always goes, how was your show? And I was like, I don't want to talk about
it. Did you tell him we were discussing strippers?
I said, I don't want to talk about it. He's like, do I need to go listen? I said, you do whatever you feel like you need to do.
Funny. All right. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. Have a terrific day with your horse.
All right. Spay, neuter, gallop, PZP, baby.